Have you ever had the experience of hyping something up in your mind so much, of building something up to such great proportion, that when the event actually happens, you find yourself disappointed? You kind of go and say, well, that was kind of a letdown. Or how about the other side of that coin? Have you ever set the bar so incredibly low that no matter what happened, you're like, well, that wasn't so bad? Expectation is a really fascinating thing, and it is something which is incredibly important. Our expectations guide us and lead us to what we might do, what we might try, and in the same way, what we might not do, what we might not go to, what we might not try. Whether we know it or not, our expectations are one of the guiding forces in our lives, helping us figure out where do we go next, what is on the horizon for us. Being that expectations are so important, it would behoove us from time to time to look at what are our expectations. What is it that we hope for? What is it that we anticipate? And to see what picture those expectations describe. The season of Advent, which we are very much in the heart in, today begins the penultimate week of the season. We are past the halfway mark at this point. It's a season of expectation. I mean, by very definition, this is about expectation and waiting. It's a season of preparation for what is to come. As you've heard me say in these last few weeks, we are preparing for the once and future coming of God. Preparing to welcome the Christ child into our lives again with the incarnation. And preparing for when God comes again to judge the quick and the dead. So I have to imagine, given it's a season of expectation and waiting, we all have some expectations about what's coming. Expectations about, the Feast of the Incarnation we'll celebrate in 2 weeks' time. Expectations maybe even of what happens when God comes again in glory. And it would be wise for us to think about those expectations about that particular feast, about that particular coming, because we don't want to get to Christmas, we don't want to get to that wonderful celebration of the Incarnation and find ourselves disappointed. We don't want to get to a place where we say, all that buildup and for what? Got to be mindful of what it is we expect to happen in this time. Today's gospel passage is all about expectation. And expectation in a couple of different ways. Once more, we are visited by that beloved Advent character, John the Baptist, that wily wilderness man who, hangs out in the wilderness wearing camel's hair and snacking on locusts and wild honey. And as an aside, I did an Advent Day for Kids yesterday, and as part of it, we talked about John the Baptist. And when I said he ate locusts and wild honey, the kids were like, locusts? What's that? And I'm like, bugs. It was like, ew. I felt like the kids had a good idea of how most people interact with John the Baptist. But we see John, but John's in a very different place this week than we found him last week. John's not out in the wilderness today. John's not out at the River Jordan baptizing people. He's not proclaiming repentance, and he's certainly a little quieter on the insult front, that whole brood of vipers thing. Today, John's in prison. He is paying the price of being a prophet. Now, there's not a whole lot for John to do in his prison cell, so I got to imagine he's spending a lot of time reflecting. And we hear the fruits of some of that reflection this morning when John wonders, when he sends his disciples to ask that question of Jesus, are you the Messiah or are we to wait for another? I got to imagine John is wondering as he contemplates his future, as he's filled with his own sort of expectations about what's to come for him. And I'll give you a hint. It's not pretty. It involves his head on a platter, but that's another story for another time. It's a good one, though, let me tell you. But so John is wondering, this cost that he's paying, is it worth it? Has he used his resources well? He needs that confirmation that everything he has put on the line was for a good reason. Now, we all know Jesus isn't one always for direct and straightforward answers. So Jesus doesn't send word back to John through his disciples saying, yes, of course, John, I'm the Messiah, duh. I kind of want to see Jesus say duh in scripture, but that might be a translation issue. Jesus does something else. And it's probably something more important than a straightforward, direct answer. Because how Jesus responds to this question John's disciples bring to him is in a way that everyone will understand. All the hearers there will get what Jesus is doing. Jesus says, "Go and tell John what you have seen. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised to life." The things that Jesus lists, that Jesus says, go tell John what you have seen, all of those miraculous things, those are all the things that the prophets have said before. That the prophets of old said, when the Messiah comes, this is what the Messiah will do. Jesus is saying, the prophets' expectations are being fulfilled. This is what is happening before your eyes, so go tell John. Prophets Isaiah, as the people were longing what would happen, this new world that God would unfold, that's what Jesus is doing. And so his vocation, his identity, his ministry is fulfilling expectations that have been in place for generations. So go tell John what you have seen, that his question might be answered. There is something actually quite poignant, something even tender about this mediated exchange between John and Jesus. And it's a reminder to us that God gives us what we need to believe. God gives us what we need to do the ministries that God has set before us. As the prophets say elsewhere, God will not leave us comfortless. It's what Jesus does for John in this morning's passage. Now, as important as that is, as important that reminder is, and it is a good, holy, and sweet thing we see happen, I think there's something more important for us today in the second half of the gospel. As John's disciples leave, as they go back to find John to tell them of all that they have seen, Jesus turns to the crowd and he's telling the crowd about John the Baptist, about how, in fact, John is the one foretold in the prophet Isaiah, that voice crying out in the wilderness. But then Jesus asks them, "What did you go out to see?" And Jesus doesn't ask that question just once. He doesn't ask it twice. He asks it thrice. Come on, how often do you say the word thrice? Three times Jesus asks, "What did you go out to see?" Jesus is making that point to them. Like, and if you were worried, I promise, the bulletin is correct. I wasn't like just forgetting how to read and just saying the same line over and over again. Jesus is making the point to them. He's trying to get through to them saying, why did you go out in the wilderness to see John? What are you looking for? Have you just heard about, you know, this kind of wily individual out there and you want to go see what yourself is all about, thinking you'd get a good show and have a good story to tell your buddies later? Did you go out looking to find an excuse to trap the prophet to say, ha-ha, you said this, we've got you, now we can arrest you? Are you going to see that you might build a case against these disciples? Or are you going to see the answers to the questions you didn't even know you needed to ask? Are you going to see this new thing God is doing? Are you going to see this thing which you have been yearning for but didn't know you needed? What is it that you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. And more so than a prophet. The one who prepares the way for the dwelling of God in this world. What is it that you go out to see? It's the perfect Advent question. And it's a question we need to ask ourselves. What is it that we go out to see? What is it that you hoped to see this morning? What is it that you hope to see in this place? What is it that we hope to see in our lives as followers of Jesus? Do we hope to see a warm and comfy message, like cuddly Jesus, kind of like the cloaks Josh and I were wearing outside, like we put Jesus on us like a blanket and be all, ooh, this is what I'm doing? Or do we wish to see the Word of God revealed in our midst? Do we wish to see that which will make us feel comfortable, which will make us feel good about ourselves, a happy-go-lucky, you know, whistle-while-you-work sort of thing? Or do we wish to see the world and our lives unveiled that we might see them truly? What is it that we wish to see? What is it that we are hoping and what we expect to see in the weeks ahead and in the coming of God in glory? What do we expect? I can't tell you what you all hope to see because, well, Only you know that. And before you get worried, I'm not going to actually ask you to like raise your hand and tell me what is it you wish to see, because you all have projectiles in your pews, and I don't want to get a hymnals thrown at me. But think about that question for yourselves. What is it that you go out to see? I hope that together we will have our eyes opened, our expectations aligned with God's, that we might see God revealed in this place, that we might once more experience the inbreaking of the kingdom of God come near, that we might see that which was foretold by the prophets happening in this very place in our lives, that we might see illness turn to health, that we might see brokenness restored to wholeness, and we might see death turned into life. My friends, let our eyes and our hearts and our minds be open that we might see God in this place, and that empowered by that vision, we may join with the work that God is already doing here and help others see as well. Amen.